get beat up, no man. No man can say that to God. If you get tired, you get hurt, you get broken things that emotionally shake you up or cause you to get frustrated.
Is it the same?
Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. The thing is I really feel that the enemy comes to really discourage us. And the reason the enemy wants to discourage you is because there's something great inside each one of you. And see, if the enemy can hold that from coming out, you won't have the impact, the heavenly impact that God wants you to have. Because above each one of you, there is an open heaven. You've got to understand that God, when you came to the Lord and you asked the Lord into your life, you said, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you resurrected on the third day. And because I believe, Lord, I want you to live and reside in me and live inside of me. That made you a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And what that did is it brought down a connection from heaven right to who you are and where you are. So therefore, wherever you go, there is an open heaven above you. And the thing about it is the enemy would want to hinder that from flowing or being opened up or being exposed, because you know what? If you have a heavenly connection, you might have a heavenly impact on the things around you. Amen? How many can say amen to that? But the thing is we live so much in the heaviness and the frustration of what the enemy or the things around us are going on, that we forget that we have that conduit of the favor of God flowing from heaven to us and from us to Him. Amen. And I really believe that that's something that we need to really be encouraged about, is that God is on your side. God is on your side. And He wants great things to happen in your life, because He wants you to be able to be everything that you're supposed to be. Amen? In other words, having an impact on this earth in a godly way. How many of you realize there was a lot going on when Jesus walked this earth, but who impacted who? Did the things of this world impact the Lord? No, He impacted the things of this world, because why? His mind and his focus was on doing what the Lord had for Him. Amen? And I really believe what the Lord is really challenging us as individuals is we need to have a Jesus mentality so that we can have an impact wherever we go. How many can say amen to that? Amen? Let's pray. That's my intro. Father, we thank You, Lord, for being such a good God. I thank You, Lord, that You're a God that sees the goodness and the greatness in each of my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray right now that there be a stirring within the Spirit, Father, within their heart, that there would be an energy and an excitement, that, Father, that they would know that, Lord, that they're being called forward and they're being brought into a new realm of You, Father, so that, Lord, the greatness of God may be known in a way that we've never seen it before in each of our lives. And we thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone says, you know, in Isaiah 30:21, it says, your ear shall hear a word behind you. How many of you are ready to hear the word of God speaking to you? It says your ears will hear the word being spoken behind you. And it says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. In other words, God is saying that He wants to give us guidance. He wants to give us direction in our life. How many of us sometimes say, man, and I know I've done this before, where I say, God, if You would just grab me by the ear like my mom used to, or my dad used to, or how God, my grandma used to, and say, get over here and stop doing that. How many of you sometimes wish God would grab you by the ear? Not too many. Okay. Well, the thing about it is, I really believe that God's such a loving God that He speaks to us. He may speak to you in a verbal way. He may speak to you in your heart. He may just move you or cause you to see something that you say you know that is right. But the Lord is saying that He's a God that wants to speak to His people. He wants to give you direction. He wants to give you guidance so that you know that you're walking in the ways of the Lord. Amen? And that's the God we serve. It says, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, that you would know that's the direction God wants to take you in. Amen? Because there's something great inside of you. Understand, when you gave your life to the Lord, there's something great inside of you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords resides in you. Isn't that an exciting thing? That God, the God of heaven, chose you so that He could use you to do great things in this world. Amen. What a loving God. Amen. You know, it says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 12, I mean 1 through 2, it says, therefore, we also, you know, that part therefore is very important, because if you read Hebrews 11, that's where it talks about all the fathers of faith. You know, you see where God talks about Abraham and Moses and all these individuals that had great faith. But the thing about it is, in verse 12, it starts as the scripture says, therefore, I said all of this because I want to say this, in other words. And it says, therefore, we also, how many of you realize that you're images of God's great faith? Amen? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, all these individuals are up there looking upon us, wanting us to see the success of God and the faith of God working in us. It's a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. You know, I know we have a few cheerleaders in the crowd here. I told them that we needed to get these little girls up here that do cheerleading and watch them bounce around and get us excited. Amen? They all kind of looked at like me, like I was crazy, but it's okay. Right, Amadea? Praise God. The thing about it is, I really believe that there's got to be an excitement about serving God. You know, God is saying that we are a people that a lot of times, because of the impacts and the things that go on around us, it emotionally affects us, and we're not very content. We're not very excitable. But the Lord is saying, I want to change those things, because I want you to know who I am and the greatness of the God that you serve, so that you can get excited. So that you can get excited. You want to worship. You want to get excited about God. And the thing about it is that there's a freedom that you're able to be released to be able to be everything that God wants you to be. You know, there's so many things that hinder us or keep us from being what God wants us to be, but a lot of us hold back. How many can say amen to that? How many of you are holding back? How many of you are kind of not being released into what God wants you to be? You know, I was so excited yesterday watching the worship team in the midst of this fiesta, up there declaring the word of God, up there worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, declaring holy ground over this valley. You know what? That's what it's about. Without no shame, without no hindrance, just being able to do it because you know what you're doing is what God would want you to do. And I really believe that that's something as we as a people need to understand. We don't have to have a title of a pastor. We don't have to have a title of a worship leader. We don't have to even know how to play an instrument. But you know what? We can declare the goodness and the favor of God wherever you are. Because why? You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Your God says that there's an open heaven above you pouring down so that you can be able to accomplish all that God wants you to be. Amen. Just imagine all the individuals of the Word of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all the great writers, no matter what they were going through, there was a time in their life that they came and there was a change in their life. Something clicked spiritually that made them step up and become everything that God wanted them to be. And I really believe that that's where we're at this time in our lives, where God wants to bring us to a point that we really truly understand that we are His sons and His daughters. And that we can do great things because we're waiting. I mean, we're listening and we're being led by the things of God. How many can say amen to that? You know, it's so important that we realize that. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. See, we need to lay some things down. We need to let go of some stuff. Whatever is holding you back. That's what the scripture is saying. And it says, and the sin which easily ensnares us. If we're still battling with certain sins or things in our lives, we need to let them go so that they not ensnare us, not hold us back, and that we're being able to be released to be what God wants us to be. And it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you realize that there is a purpose for you? And God is saying, I want to release you into your purpose. I want you to achieve and be everything that I've chosen you to do and be able to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. In other words, God is saying, I have the cheerleaders on your side. I'm for you. I've set you up for success. You're equipped to be able to be successful and victorious. Now run the race. Run the race. You know, when I was in college, I remember one time we were playing against this team that was really, really highly ranked. And we weren't ranked at all. And I remember our coach telling us, he never spoke like we were going to be defeated. He always spoke like we had a chance to win. He never put us down. He never told us how good this other team was. He always spoke to us to bring us up, to elevate us to that level. In other words, he knew that we had to have a great game in order to compete. And he prepared us for that game. He prepared us mentally. He kept coming by and he'd tell us things when we were practicing, when we were running. He'd say, run a little harder. We're going to need it this weekend. These guys are good, but we can play with them. You know, he was encouraging us. And I really believe that this cloud of witnesses that's in the heavens is doing the same thing for you. It doesn't matter how big and how great the enemy looks. It doesn't look, they don't look at all of this. All they know is what's in you, and they want to bring the best out in you. And see, that's what our God does. He wants to bring out the best in you so that you can see victories in your life. And the enemy, all of a sudden, isn't as great as he thought he was. And all of a sudden, now you're on even playing fields, and even you're taking a position where now you're even in a greater place, because you know what? You're following and you're starting to believe in the greatness of God. And all of a sudden, now when you step on that same playing field, the enemy is now becoming kind of doubtful. You know what happened that game? We came out and we started playing. And I mean, we were playing at like everything was happening that was great. I mean, we couldn't do nothing wrong. This team took us a little light. They thought, you know what, we have an easy game. We'll take care of these guys really quick. You know what? Halfway through the first half, we were ahead, and they kept calling timeouts. They were trying to figure out how to stop us. Why? Because we practiced to be able to defeat them. We practiced to win. We didn't practice to lose. And see, sometimes in our lives, that's the way we are as Christians. It seems like we're practicing to lose. We don't believe it. We don't believe all that the Word of God says. It goes in one ear and it goes out the other. And see, God is saying, you know what? I just didn't say this. I meant it. I want you to be victorious. I want you to be able to grab a hold of what God says so that when sickness comes, you know how to stand against sickness. When things come that rock your world, you know how to stand and be able to read the Word, the promises of God, and stand against it. Why? Because God wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be victorious. You know, and the thing about it is, we fight a good fight. God is saying that He's on our side. And good things happen. He's provided us with men of faith. He's given us examples from the Word of God of individuals that had failures, that were going through struggles in their life, but they kept their eyes on God. And because they kept their eyes on God, before you know it, there was a shift. And all of a sudden, what looked impossible became possible. And I really believe that's what the Word of God is saying to us today, is that He is here to give us all that we need so that we can see the greatness of God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is where I really want to dwell on today a little bit. You guys got to get a little excited or something. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 6, verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. I'm going to give you a little history. This King Uzziah, he had reigned for 42 years. And it was when Judah was at its strongest point. In other words, this man was a godly man. He was doing good things. But it says here, in the year that he died. Understand, when you lose something that is great, like a great king like that, there's probably a lot of mourning and a lot of darkness and a kind of uncertainty. What's going to happen with our nation? What's going to happen with us now? There was a lot of confusion because the king had just died and he was a good king. He was a king that stood for the things of God. 42 years he had reigned in Judah, and Judah was at its highest point. But it says that now he died. And here the prophet Isaiah is probably in a state of not sure what is next. How many of you have ever been there? When something that everything was going well and everything was good, and all of a sudden something happens that comes and rocks that. Something that comes to bring darkness into your world and maybe discouragement and maybe some frustration and maybe some uncertainty. How many of you ever had that in your life? Good, I'm talking to the right people. In the midst of this, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. How many of you realize that when sometimes things are hardest or things are darkest, you're probably on your knees a little harder, and that's when the Lord shows up. It says, I saw the Lord. And this is pretty cool, and it says, I saw the Lord high and exalted. In other words, He didn't come on His knees weeping and crying. In other words, God came as powerful God. He came as a God that was going to bring light to the situation and over the darkness. Amen? I want you to know that when you're going through something and it is hard and it is heavy and it seems kind of gloomy and doubtful in your life, that's when God's going to show up. And I want you to know that when God shows up, He shows up with power. And things are about to change. It says, He was high and exalted. And seated on a throne. In other words, I'm above the circumstance. Whenever you see a king sitting on the throne, he's got it. It's in control. And it says, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You know, this morning Jerry was, during the time of worship, she said, Lord, come and fill this place. Fill this place. You know what? When the Lord comes and He fills the temple, all you can feel is the presence of God. There's a story when Solomon dedicated the temple, he had built the temple. It says that he had done all the sacrifices and all this stuff. He had done all this preparation. He had prayed, and all it says, all of a sudden, that the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple. It says that all the people fell. They were all slain in the spirit because of the presence of Almighty God. You know, when God shows up, He shows up with power. And the thing about it is, sometimes in our lives, we've got to remember the greatness of the God we serve. Because I really believe a lot of times, we as Christians, as believers, we think all we see Jesus is on the cross. I want you to know that that was at His weakest moment in life. Other than that, He's a powerful God. He's an all-victorious God. He surrendered to the hands of the enemy, and that's where the enemy put Him, was on that cross. And He was defeated. It looked like He was defeated. He was slain, and He was beaten, and all this stuff was upon Him. But I want you to know that He did not stay on the cross. It says that on the third day He arose. And He arose as a mighty king. In other words, he even when it says when he rose, before he rose, when he died on the cross, that he went to Hades, which is hell itself, and he walked into the doors of hell, and he told Satan, I'm here to take the keys back. In other words, you haven't defeated me. I've come to show my greatness and my power, because now that you thought you had me where you wanted me, little did you know that you allowed me to be released into what God had me to do. He walked into the gates of hell and told Satan, give me back the keys of death. No longer do you have authority. And after that, he was lifted up. He came, he was resurrected. He stayed here on the earth for 40 days. And then he was lifted back up. And it says that he took his rightful place on the right hand of God. He's not a weak God. He's a powerful God. You know, I love, one time I was talking to Brother Larry, and Larry told me, he goes, you know what? I see God. I see Jesus in the heavens. And I don't see him as a lamb. I don't see him as someone that was beat up. I see him as a warrior. I see him with his sword pulled out and his hair kind of blowing in the wind. And his body is ripped. And he's saying, I'm ready to come down for my children. I'm ready to come down and battle their battles. I'm here to set the captives free because I have the power and the authority to do it. In other words, he's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And the thing about it, he's on your side. You know, it's kind of like, let's say here in Cuesta, all of a sudden we had LeBron James show up at a basketball game and he was on our side. Who's gonna defeat us? That's the way it is with Jesus. He's on your side. You've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side, and yet we're walking around like we're defeated, like we're going through all this, and all this is so heavy, and the Lord just says, you know what? Lay it down. Take off that heaviness. Let go of those little sins that so easily entangle you. Let it go. And it says, and his throne filled the temple. And above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with the other they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Can you imagine just visualizing that what Isaiah saw, the prophet saw, at a time of discouragement, at a time of frustration, at a time of gloominess or darkness, all of a sudden God shows him this and he's able to see the heavens to remind him whose side you're on. You know, some of us may be going through something today where it seems impossible. It seems heavy on you. It seems frustrating. It seems like, man, how can it change? Well, I want you to know, in the darkest places is where God shines the brightest. And when he shows up, I want you to know that he's not showing up as the defeated Jesus that was on the cross. He's coming with power and he's coming with authority. Because when he shows up, everything is about to change. Everything that seems impossible, all of a sudden becomes possible. But see, we as a people, we wait too long to call on the goodness of God. We wait too long to call on the favor of God. I'm telling you, we need to become little baby Christ. Man, I used to have two younger brothers, and whenever I did anything, they'd run and tell on me. That's what David's brothers all say about him too. They used to run and tell on me. Everything I did. They were tattletales. And I always got in trouble. And you know what? Sometimes I look at that and I say, you know what? I got to become with my God. I got to come and I got to be able to run to him with everything. I got to be able to be one that is connected with God, that no matter what I'm going through, I'm running to God right away. No matter how small or how big the situation, I'm running to my God. I'm saying, Lord, here am I. I need you. I need your help, Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on, because the enemy is all around us. There's situations around us. And we, you know what? So many times in our lives, we think we can take care of everything. And then we just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in trouble. How many can say amen to that? We need to learn to run to the Lord. It says, the angels were flying around him and they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. It says, the whole earth is full of his glory. We need to hear that as individuals. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, last night when I was looking at this, I said, Lord, if the whole earth is full of your glory, why is it that we don't experience it to the level that we should? And as I was praying, the Lord was really showing me is how much do you really seek the glory of God? How much do you really knock on the throne room of God and say, Lord, I want to experience your glory here. I want to be able to walk in the power of your of who you are, Lord. I want to see your favor. I want to feel the glory of God. I want to know who I am in God so that I don't have to try to be what everybody else is trying to make me to be. I want to be who God wants me to be. How many of you realize that a lot of times in our life, we live our lives trying to please others? And we don't live our lives really to please the one we should be pleasing, which is God. It's amazing. It says, at the sound of their voices, their doorposts, the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Can you imagine being in that place? And Isaiah says, all he could say was, woe, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the glory, the Lord Almighty. Understand, when you're in the presence of a mighty God, the first thing you're going to realize is how unworthy we are to be there. How unworthy and how great he is. But Isaiah verbalized that, and he said, woe is me to be in this position because I am a person of unclean lips and I'm around people. He's probably looking at all his thoughts, all the things that he dealt with, all the things that he battled with, and all he could see was the holiness of his God. But look at the response the Lord gives him. It says, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. It says, with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. In other words, what he was feeling and what he was seeing, God right away said, let's take care of it. The angel flies and touches him with a coal on his lips, and right away, what did he say? Woe is me, for I have unclean lips. Right away, the Lord addressed it, took away the uncleanliness that he was feeling from his lips. And the thing about it is, today, we've got to realize that sometimes when we are in the presence of God, God shows us some things that we need to address. But it's up to you to really receive his redemption, his forgiveness. Because our God is such a loving God, he wants you to be free. He wants you to not dwell on all your mishaps and all your sin. He wants you to not be entangled by the things of this world. He wants to set you free so that you can be everything that God wants you to be. In other words, there's a greatness inside of you, and the only thing that hinders you from being able to be released sometimes is what you think of yourself instead of what God thinks of you. We dwell so much on our own failures or on the things we do that we forget the greatness of the God we serve. How many can say amen to that? And God is saying, I have everything you need to be able to set you free. No matter what it is that you're going through, I have what you need to set you free of the circumstance or the situation that you're going through. And it says that it touched his lips. And your guilt is taken away from your sin, your sins atoned for. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? See, there's a reason that the Lord wants to set you free. It's so that you can go forth. He heard the voice of God say, who shall I send? Before that, Isaiah the prophet didn't feel very worthy to be sent. But after he knew he was touched by God, he was cleansed by God, and all of a sudden now he hears the voice saying, whom shall I send? And he says, here am I, send me. And that's the part I really want to grab a hold of this morning, because a lot of times in our lives, we feel unworthy to be sent by God to do any of the work of God. But the Lord is saying, when I come and I cleanse you and I set you free, you become worthy, because the glory that's inside of you, the greatness that's inside of you, is now being released so that you can become and be able to do all that God's desire has for you. In other words, we're not hindered, we're not in captive, we're being released to do the work that God has. And you know, a lot of times we look at our lives and we say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't think I can do what God wants me to do because this or that. God's saying, I've come to set the captives free. I come to set you and release you, and so that you can be all that God wants you to be. But the thing about it is, we've got to believe it when we see it or when we read it in the Word of God, so that God can release us to be the people that we need to be. Amen? We keep ourselves so bottled up sometimes that we don't get released to do what God wants us to be, because we're always looking at ourselves as unworthy. Nowhere in the Word of God is the word unworthy mentioned with the children of God. Nowhere in the Word of God. All I hear in the Word of God when it talks about His children is that they're blessed. There's favor over them. The glory of God's over them. You know, it's just favor of God. But why is it that we put this upon ourselves where we feel we can't be worthy to do or experience the greatness of God in our lives? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me how sometimes one person can say something to you and you believe that more than what God says in His Word about us. It's amazing to me. Because I know I've shared this before. I remember one time a teacher looking at me and she said, why do you do these things? You'll never, never be worth nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. I still hear her voice. I still remember her voice to the point. But then, sometimes when I'm going through things, that's the voice I hear of discouragement, instead of the Word of God saying, rise up, my faithful son, my righteous son. Take thy rightful place. It's amazing how things like that impact our lives, because we hear them and they grasp us, and we hear it inside our head so much that all of a sudden we start believing the lie instead of the truth that God is speaking over our hearts. And our God is saying today, I have the coals, the thongs that need to be done so that He can touch your lips. Wherever you feel you're unworthy, God's saying, I'm coming and I'm touching you because I want you to be healed. I want you to be set free so that you can be the person God wants you to be. You know, it's amazing how we put ourselves in these molds and we think we can't break these molds and become what God wants us to be, because we feel we're already part of what God, what we feel has already made us. God says that He comes to renew our minds. He comes to set the captives free. He comes to renew our way of thinking, our ways of the walk of the Lord. He says that He's a light unto our path. All these scriptures are there so that we can walk forward and become what God wants us to be. But the thing about it is, do we hear what God is saying? Or do we hinder ourselves from everything else that's going on around us? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. In other words, these are things that we need to get rid of. And it says, but as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow therefore thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. In other words, letting go of the stuff that's hindering you or those things that cause you to feel unworthy, but taking a desire to grow in the things of God and becoming all that God wants us to be. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto His works. That's what we are. We're created by Him, by His workmanship, it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, there's a destiny for each one of us. We just need to walk in it and experience it. Amen? And not be a people that are hindered by the things of this world. How many of you realize that we are like emotional roller coasters sometimes? How many of you can be happy one moment and someone come in and say something and you can turn that happiness into anger in a flash of lightning? Amen? We can be angry and all of a sudden something good happens. We can be joyful. We could be, I mean, we bounce all over the place. We're like a super ball inside of a little box sometimes. Amen? Just bouncing around emotionally. But the thing about it is, God is saying with your maturity, God wants to give you stability. He wants you to know the relationship you have with God is real. And that, you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on around you. There's a steadfast and a stability in your life. Because God is saying, you know what? I don't want my people running around and bouncing around emotionally, angry one second, mad the next, and happy the next, and all these stuff going on around them. God's saying He wants us to have a stability, knowing who we are in God. You know, the thing is, God is trying to establish us so that there is such a consistency in us that we're not moved by the things of this world. What moves us is the things of God, the energy and the excitement or the things that are happening in us. Or when we see other people being blessed by God, we get excited. Amen? And that's what the Lord is saying. How do we get to that point? It's by soaking ourselves in the Word of God. Allowing God to be God in our lives. You know, the men, these last couple of Wednesdays that we've met, we've been talking about the importance of the Word of God. And if we really soak in the Word of God and we believe what the Word of God says, as it says in Timothy, I believe, it says that all the Word is inspired by God. Every word that's in the Word of God is inspired by God so that we could lead us into righteousness, so that our thoughts can be pure. I'm translating a little bit here according to 3 Peter, but it's so that it can enrich us and give us the guidance that we need. But the thing about it is, how many of us really grab the Word and apply it to ourselves or even believe in it so that it can allow the greatness of God out of us? Amen? There's something great inside of you because that's why you're called sons and daughters of the Most High God. But the thing about it is, how do you tap into that so that you can start letting that greatness out, that favor of God, that boldness in all that you have so that you can start experiencing everything that God is in your life? And that's what the Lord is stirring. He's saying, I want a people for such a time as this to rise up and become the people of God that I need for such a time as now. We've got to understand there's a lot of things going on around us, but there's also a God that is bigger than every circumstance. There's a God that is big. He's a strong and mighty God. He's a wise God. He's an intelligent God. He knows how to manipulate and work situations so that His glory be shown. Amen? He's a good God. And I'm telling you, whatever you're looking for in life, whatever you're seeking, if you put God in it, there's going to be success. No matter where the Lord leads you. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see individuals that have gifts and have talents and that are using them and advancing the kingdom of God. You know, when you see someone that is solid in the ways of the Lord, they're ones that, you know what, you want to pursue, you want to follow after them, because you know what, they move with direction and they know what they're doing. The beautiful thing about it is God is calling each one of us to be such persons that we carry the presence of God wherever we go. And that no matter what you face, no matter where you're at, that light is shining through you. Because the thing about it is, there is a God that is bigger than every circumstance and situation. And no matter where you're at in life, call upon the name of the Lord. Let the greatness of God come through. Because even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of circumstances where we don't know what to do, I want you to know that God shows up and He gives us direction. Like we read that scripture, He speaks to us so that we know which direction to take. It says in the Word of God that He is a light unto our path. Sometimes we need our path lit up so that we know where to walk, when we know where to move. You know, sometimes during this time, we have 5 different weddings that we're working on. And one of the things for weddings that we enjoy doing is we like to meet with the individuals and prepare them for success in their wedding, in their marriage. You know, we get the couples talking about everything, finances and all kinds of stuff, so that they kind of go in prepared. And the thing about it is, so many times you can see individuals that they are going through something in their life and they don't want to expose it. They don't want to bring it out. And you know, as I was looking at this one couple that we met with, and I was looking at them and I said, you know what, how open am I really sometimes with God? Is there things that I try to hold out or I try to hold back from God and not tell Him the truth about? Is there things that I'm ashamed of to share with God? And the thing about it is, sometimes no matter what you're going through, you can learn from what God is doing in others' lives or in the things around you so that you can apply them to your life. Sometimes you've got to have open ears so that you can hear what the Lord is saying. Amen? Because so many times we can learn through other people's experiences, we can learn what God wants to say to us as well. And the thing about it is that I get excited about is God is a God that wants you to be victorious. He wants victories in your life. He wants joy in your life. You know, it says that the fruits of the Spirit abide with those that pursue after God. What are the fruits of the Spirit? There's peace. There's love. There's joy. You know, you think of all these things. That's what the Lord wants to bestow upon you. But how do we find or embrace what God is doing in our lives? It's by seeking Him with all our heart. It's by knowing Him and desiring more of Him. And being an example no matter where we go. Let your light so shine for who He is. Amen. This morning I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to have communion. There's this one verse this one scripture that I want to pray over each and every one of us. So go ahead and let's stand up this morning as we prepare for communion. The worship team comes up. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. How many of you are grateful that there's a God that loves you? How many of you realize that every word in the Word of God is inspired to encourage you, to give you hope, to give you encouragement? You know, so many times in our lives, it seems like we live in all this frustration, uncertainty. But God is saying He wants to bring stability to our lives. The stability comes through knowing the true God. Amen. And this morning, as you come for your communion, I really want you to just take time to embrace everything that God has for you. To be able to say, I want to be the person that God has for me. Amen. I want to walk and I want to see God move in my life. No longer do I want to doubt or be frustrated like I'm out of control, but I want to be able to see God move in great ways in my life. I want to experience Him to the fullest. But it's a choice. It's a choice. So as you come up this morning, just really reflect on your own life and say, where do I need more of God to show up in my life? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and come up for your communion.
I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. The name that's so much higher than all.
Father, as we stand before you, I just want to pray, Father, this scripture over each of us. Lord, this scripture is in Isaiah 60. And it says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Father, I just take these words, I ask, Father, that, Lord, that you would plant them in each heart. That everyone here would arise and shine and take their rightful place. And may the glory of the Lord shine upon them, Lord. That there be a maturity in each of our hearts of who we are in God. Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I pray, Father, that there would be release, Father, of your goodness and your favor over their lives. Let them experience the greatness of who you are. In Jesus' name, as we take the bread and we drink the cup.
Your name is life. Your name is hope inside me. Hope inside me. Your name is love. A love that always finds me. Always finds me.
We stand here with our heads bowed and our hearts open to the things of the Lord. I really believe that the Lord wants to set some of the captives free here this morning. If you are battling something that you just really know that you need God to show up, I just want you to raise your hand where you're at. Just raise your hand. If there's some that are feeling pain or sickness and need a touch from God, just raise your hand where you're at. Because our God is a God that does great things. If some of you, the part of the emotional part that ministered to you, where sometimes you're just emotionally a wreck, where you're happy one moment, angry the next, frustrated, or just raise your hand where you're at. God's going to change some things here this morning. If there's anyone here that just needs a closer walk with the Lord, just you feel you've fallen away and God's tugging at your heart to bring you back in, just raise your hand where you're at. If there's anyone here that maybe you never experienced accepting Jesus into your life, and this is the day that the Lord is saying, today's the day for you to make that commitment, just raise your hand where you're at. So let's first just pray the sinner's prayer together. Father in heaven, we come to you believing that you died on the cross for me. And you rose on the third day because I believe. I want you to come into my heart and walk with me. Show me your ways, Lord. Give me a hunger for your word. And let me be all that you want me to be. I accept you as my Savior. Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray right now for every hand that was lifted. Father, the emotions, the frustration, the uncertainty. Just lift up my brothers and sisters, Father, and we come to you and say, Lord, here we are. In these moments of darkness, Father, we ask that you would shine, Father. Come down with your greatness and your power. And Father, the Lord, that you would change every circumstance and situation in this place. Father, I pray that you would show up with your mighty power, your mighty hand. That you would touch bodies here this morning, Father. Your hand of healing would sweep through this room. Father, touch, Father, the hearts of my brothers and sisters that are going through emotional roller coasters, Father. Pray peace and comfort. Pray direction in their life, Lord. An eagerness to serve you, Lord. And Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that you would come and lift up, Father, all the doubt. And let everyone here in this place know your love. You paid it all for us, Father, for each one. It's not what we've done, it's what you've done, Lord. Let your love just fill this place. And let them know, Father, that they are important to you. Each person here, Lord. Fill them with your love. Let them experience it in their homes, Father, in their marriages, their families, their workplace, my God. Let the love of God be known, Father, over your people. I thank you this morning, Father, for your goodness. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone says, amen. Give each other a hug this morning. Amen. Thank you for being here. We thank you, guests, for coming. Amen.